You may be seated. I forgot to mention in the opening announcements that we have our very own Carl Spackler among us. Carl Spackler was famous for catching gophers on a golf course back in around 1980. And we have Mike, thank you for catching our squirrel. He doesn't know I'm talking about him. Mike can't hear me very well up here until I start saying his name. Then he realizes the pastor's talking about me. Y'all, we had a squirrel in here, and Mike is on the job. I also want to let you know, it's good for the pastor to know in case a squirrel happens by you. That means another one got in somehow, but Mike caught the first one.
That pot
was coming up. That's right. All right, well, we are in Romans today, and then you're going to have 3 weeks off from Romans. We're in Romans 5. We're going to have 12 to 21. And I'll just say here, I'm going to give my introduction before I read the passage. Jim Boyce took 11 sermons. I won't do this again to you, but I've mentioned him before. He took 11 sermons to do what I'm going to do in one. And at first I felt guilty when I was looking at his book of sermons, and I thought, no, what I'm going to do, God's given me what he's given me. I'm not going to take 3 years to go through Romans, but I am going to try to do what he does and what John Calvin. You hear the name Calvin, and most people don't understand. I mean, Calvin actually wrote concisely, clearly, and briefly. He wanted to be as brief as he could. He's not a verbose writer like a person like John Owen, one of our Puritan forefathers. But I'm just going to give you the best that I can, clear, concise, and brief expositions of this wonderful book of Romans. So today it's Romans 5, 12 through 21. We're going to take one sermon today and look at this, what our ESV has a little heading here, Death in Adam and Life in Christ. Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. For sin indeed was in the world before the law was given, but sin is not counted where there is no law. Yet death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those whose sinning was not like the transgression of Adam, who was a type of the one who was to come. But the free gift is not like the trespass. For if many died through one man's trespass, much more have the grace of God and the free gift by the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many. And the free gift is not like the result of the one man's sin, for the judgment following the one trespass brought condemnation. But the free gift following many trespasses brought justification. For if by the one man's trespass death reigned through that one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation for all men, so one act of righteousness leads to justification in life for all men. For as by the one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience the many will be made righteous. Now the law came in to increase the trespass, but where sin increased, grace abounded all the more, so that, as sin reigned in death, grace also might reign through righteousness, leading to eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Father in heaven, open our eyes that we may behold wondrous things in your law. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, here's the thesis for today's sermon. I'll say it now and I'll say it again at the end. There is more grace in Jesus Christ than there is sin in you. Boy, that's an amazing thing to contemplate, isn't it? That's what this passage teaches. There's actually more grace in Jesus than sin in us. For the one who comes to Jesus, places your trust in Him, is born again, is made new, turns from sin unto righteousness, and is united to Christ by faith, we can say there's more grace in Jesus Christ than sin in you. So I have a statement for our first two points, the reign of death and then the reign of life. Reign, R-E-I-G-N, that is a powerful, in a sense, one who has the power over us, the reign of death. As we think about the reign of death in the first several verses of the passage, let's ask the question, where did death come from? Why is there death? Well, just as sin came into the world through one man, that is Adam, and death through sin, so death spread to all men. Death came from sin. God told Adam, our first father, who God then gave to Eve, our first mother, so our first parents. God gave him a command. He told him that he could eat of all the trees of the garden, but not to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, he said, you shall not eat of it, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. Death came through sin. Our first parents sin. God told him he would die. Now, at that point, we realize, well, Adam and Eve didn't just fall to the ground dead. But if you read the passage and you read what happens when they sin, you can tell something has died within them. Because formerly they walked with God. They walked God came and walked with them in some way, in some form, in the garden in the cool of the day. And the day that after they had sinned and He came to walk with them, they were hiding. Something had died within them. Something that would eventually lead to their physical death. They had sinned. They had lost fellowship with God. And again, we're thinking today about the fact that it brought death. Death came from sin. Sin came from Adam. In this, God, in His own wisdom, made Adam our federal head. He was our representative. When God gave him that command, not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for in the day that he ate of it, he would die. He was representing us. Our Reformed and Presbyterian forefathers saw this as what they would come to call federalism, or the federal head, in covenant theology that we have a representative. Augustine, and I think Augustine's right also, as they were, a lot of theology has to be formulated over the years as we ask questions and we deal with what the Bible teaches. How can we, put this into systematic ways that help us understand what is the message, that whole message of the Bible? Well, as over time, as again our early church fathers especially were thinking about some of the, how do we tell an unbelieving world what we believe? Augustine saw this original sin as that Adam, literally, as he is our first father, and Adam and Eve together our first parents, that literally within his, within his person, he then would was when he sinned, he then, because all of us were in Adam, we are all related to Adam. All of us come from one couple, Adam and Eve, every person on earth. That physical sense, he passed it on to us. I mean, I think that's true as well. But the fact is, in God's way of doing things, Adam was our representative. So when he sinned, we sinned in him, and death came. All sinned in Adam, and so through Adam, therefore all died. Now, this was a terrible thing. It brought, if we look in our text, verse 15, many died through the one man's trespass. Verse 16, judgment followed the one trespass. Verse 17, because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man. Verse 18, one trespass led to condemnation for all men. Verse 19, by the one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners. And so death came from sin. Now, again, we know that throughout the history and throughout Scripture and throughout, we even look at life, we can see there are times in the Bible that a particular person, they physically die because of a particular sin that they committed, because God judges them. I think nowadays, God perhaps may still do that, but we don't know. We can't see into God's eternal plan, and His plan is carried out at that day. Maybe it does happen. We know that people can do foolish things that result in their death, that we know on some level sin is related. But the point is, the fact that we all die is because of sin. It comes from sin. Adam was our representative. And so, in him, all died. That's where death came from. And there's been a reign of death. Now, let me just say briefly, as it goes through this, here in the 12... Paul, as he often does, and this is under the inspiration of the Spirit, Paul will start a statement, then he'll go off on a tangent, and then he'll come back later to what he started. And he does that in this, really, verse 12, he starts a statement that he really doesn't come back to until verse 18. Therefore, as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, so death spread to all men. So he's given us kind of what he's going to talk about, but he really doesn't come back to that until 18. He kind of goes off on a little tangent here in 13 and 14, of this idea, sin was in the world before the law was given, but sin wasn't really counted where there was no law. And then it says, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those whose sinning was not like the transgression of Adam. Let me see if I can put this, what I feel like is a simple way to put it. We all know what came in Exodus 20, for example. Exodus 20, we have the giving of the Ten Commandments. Now, in that clear stated way, we didn't have the Ten Commandments before that. But we had, Genesis 1 through Exodus 20. So what were people, so what was sin before that? Well, we know that in Genesis 6 through 9, where we have the story of Noah, we know that God looked down on earth and saw that the heart of man was only evil all the time. So we know that sin was reigning. Even though we didn't have a specific law given, and we don't have a specific law given until we have the Mosaic law given. But we know that God gave the original words of instruction to Adam and Eve, and then we know that as the redemption is unfolding, again through Noah, through Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, and then Judah, through whom it passes. So we know that God is at work. So what he is saying here is that, there was already death even before the law came, because we were alienated from God from the time of Adam's sin. And even though they weren't sinning against specific laws like we have now, they knew there was a God and they were rebelling against him again. For me, the easiest place to go is... before the story of Noah, where it says that man just wanted to do evil in his heart all the time. But then it says, but Noah found favor in the Lord. And so, even before the law, there was death because there was transgression. And then the law makes it much even more clearer, God's expectations of us. So there's a reign of death. But there's also a reign of life. So let me ask the question here. We asked just a moment ago, where did death come from? Where did spiritual life come from? Why should we have spiritual life? Well, it came from God's grace. Verse 15. The free gift is not like the trespass. Then he goes into that language which we talked about last week, the much more, or the even greater than language, where God says, look, if this happened here by this means, then this is even going to be greater because it happened by this means. So he said, look, if by this one man, Adam, many died, much more have the grace of God and the free gift by the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many. The grace of God, the free gift. Spiritual life came from the grace of God, from a free gift through Jesus Christ. So again, in the old covenant, Jesus hasn't come yet, but there was a promise. Again, if we go back to Adam, God gave them a promise. He said, there will come one of your own children, Eve, who will, the serpent will bruise his heel, but he's going to crush the serpent's head. That very serpent that tempted you, he's going to come. And in fact, by the way, let me put a little aside here. Look, Adam has a big burden, all right? He sinned and we all fell in him. But as many young people and as most adults, although they won't really say it out loud, wonder, is so-and-so in hell? Or is so-and-so in heaven? Adam and Eve believed. They believed God. Brother Adam, we will meet him. I feel certain we will meet Brother Adam one day in heaven, okay? Adam and Eve believed it. God said, I'm going to give a deliverer through your, one of your own children will be a deliverer one day. And they believed it, okay? And by God's grace, Adam was in heaven by the time Paul wrote this about him. Because it makes Adam seem like a pretty bad guy. That he sinned and we now sin in him also. But the fact is, they believed it. God gave them a promise and they believed it. And so our Old Testament saints, going all the way back to Adam and Eve, believed a promise. You know, do you know that he didn't write Joy to the World. I get that wrong. The writer of Joy to the World, which I'm not sure at the moment. Who? Okay. The lyrics "Joy to the World" were written about the second coming of Christ, not about the birth of Christ. Technically, and that's interesting because I like to sing it all year long, or at least in July, sing it. You know, halfway around. That's actually a song about the second coming, but it's appropriate that we sing it at Christmas because we're believing in a promise too, aren't we? That Jesus is going to come again. And we're believing in a promise, too, that though we die physically, though sin brought physical death, and unless Jesus returns first, we're all going to die physically. Do y'all know that? Every one of us. But in Christ, we will live. We will go immediately. If you're in Christ, you'll go immediately from this place to heaven. Just like the thief on the cross next to Christ. Jesus said, today, you'll be with me in paradise. So, though death reigned in sin, life reigns as well in Christ. We live by faith and a promise, just like the Old Testament saints did. But now, we do have more responsibility. We know more. We live in better times. They wanted to see Jesus in the flesh. They wanted to live. They were looking forward to this. The prophets of old. But now we have, if verse 17, if because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man, Much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. We reign in life. Friends, this world is a place full of cemeteries. But when we go to be with Jesus and when He returns in a new heaven and a new earth, we will be all done with cemeteries and with tombstones. There is a reign of life. And so, thank the Lord, there's more grace in Jesus Christ than there is sin in you. So there's two reigns, the reign of death. Everyone outside of Christ is still a part of that reign, the reign of death, the reign of sin, the reign of unrighteousness, and yet there is a reign of life. Which reign is yours? Which reign is yours? Verse 18, therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation to all men, so the one act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men. There we have two doctrines. We have the doctrine of justification, being made right with God. Standing before God, knowing I am accepted, I am received, I've been declared righteous because of Christ's righteousness. And then life, regeneration, new life, life in Christ. Verse 19, for as by the one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience the many will be made righteous. You understand, that's actually better. So we were all made sinners by Adam. We were made, we were put in debt. We're in debt. Our sin is a debt that we now owe to the Lord. And so if we're forgiven, we're now breaking even. But it says you don't just break even. It says, so the many will be made righteous. You'll be made righteous before God. You'll have your spiritual account overflowing even more than it needs to be for you to be saved. God's grace. I mean, to put it simply here, sin is no threat to God's grace. Sin seems to reign in death, but grace reigns through the eternal life we have in Jesus Christ, our Lord. And so, verse 20, now the law came in to increase the trespass, but where sin increased, grace abounded all the more. You know, this is how David can be the man after God's own heart. There's a sense in which when you've lived through a time of sinfulness, and then you've repented and God's brought you back, that you now have an ability to even be more effective in seeking to bring other sinners to Christ in God's providence, as Psalm 51 and Psalm 32 are so helpful for us in that. Where sin increased, grace abounded all the more. Now, in case that makes you nervous, in 3 weeks, we're going to ask the question, what shall we say then? Are we to continue to sin that grace may abound? And Paul says, heck no! Well, of course not. So we're going to get to that in 3 weeks. But it doesn't change the fact. Where sin increased, grace abounded all the more. And so verse 21, to bring us to conclusion, so that as sin reigned in death, grace also may reign through righteousness, leading to eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. There's a reign of death and a reign of grace and life. There's a reign of sin and sadness and desperation, and there's a reign of life and peace and grace. Which reign is yours? Jesus says, I come that they may have life and have it to the full. He said, look, in this world you will have afflictions, but cheer up. I have overcome the world. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for such a great Savior. We thank you for grace that is greater than all our sin. And so, Lord, I pray now that for each of us in this room, we are at different points in our lives, different points in our spiritual walk, our daily walk with you. I pray that whatever each of us right now, this very moment, even as I'm praying, whatever ministry we need to receive from you based on your word today, would you make your word effective in our lives? Bring repentance where it needs to be. Bring joy, bring comfort, bring consolation, bring change, bring pain if we need pain, that you may then restore us. Make us more like Jesus, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.